Hello, my fine friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, joined today with the one, the only, Adam Simply Stoker. How are you?
I'm just simply Adam Stoker. I'm very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you,
No, you're
Stuart.
Adam Simply Stoker.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah. Sometimes it gets lost in translation.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the whole grammatical structure of English versus American is completely different. I speak like Yoda sometimes.
Oh, don't give yourself too much credit.
That's pretty good. Adam, how you been, buddy? We haven't recorded in a couple of weeks.
I don't know. I've been good. A lot going on, getting ready for summer, dealing with a daughter who dislocated her kneecap.
No. Is this cheerleader daughter?
Yeah, this is cheerleader daughter, and okay. They were just getting started in practices, and so now we got a whole new challenge to deal with, but it's good for kids to go through some adversity, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I tell you, I've got one about to graduate high school, and we you know, there's some adversity in our household, let's say youngest, so my wife's not quite ready to be an empty nester. I mean, and think about it, she's gonna be stuck with me, so that's kind of hard.
That's rough, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's ugh.
Yeah. Well, let's kick off with a little housekeeping, if you don't mind, so we don't forget it at the end of the show.
Before our guest?
Before our guest.
Okay.
Real quick,
All right.
and then we'll
All
introduce our guest. I was unashamedly asking people to leave reviews, and one of our best desties actually did it. And so this is a lesson to everyone that you should and could do it, especially if you've been a guest. You should totally leave a review. We should mandate it moving forward, I think. But you want to read the review that we got on Apple Podcasts?
Yes, it says, and this is from Desti Roush, who I'm assuming could only be Jeanette Roush.
Miss Jeanette, the one and only.
The title is Big Fan of Stu's News. I wish I could grow two more hands so I could give this podcast four thumbs up. Now,
so
the
I
thing
like,
about... Oh, go
I
ahead.
like part of that, right? I like the whole two thumbs up, four thumbs up thing. The Stu's News thing, I'm not sure I agree with.
Well, the good news is it's her opinion.
Yeah.
And she didn't ask for your agreement or anything like that with it. However, what
is that
Jeanette,
good news? I don't know.
Yeah. What Jeanette is most likely to do, though, more than any other Desti we have, is mm-hmm. create an AI solution to the four thumbs issue.
That's pretty funny. I'll also point out to her hypocrisy, though, because when she came on the show last, she actually brought a different jingle for Stu's News. So she must be saying she likes the segment Stu's News, not the jingle. Just saying.
Maybe she wants a whole playlist.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. Housekeeping out the way. Now let's get to the meat of this episode. We've got a new Desti on the show, and I'm very excited. I know you're listening to the show. I know you're coming with a really cool topic that we really haven't dug into before. But Dan Gibson, welcome to the show.
I also left my review right now, just in the
Ooh.
middle of
Oh,
you talking
did?
About the other review, threw that review in. Listen.
Oh, so, look at that.
So
that's you've already reviewage.
You've
Adam,
already
you
really
dug
in into this episode.
Dugging away is great. Adam, go to Apple Podcasts. Pull that sucker up
Let's
while we're
it.
Doing it.
Was it Apple Podcasts where you did it?
Yeah. Listen. Yeah, totally.
All right. Let's see. Let's see how quick Apple's approval process is.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Like how quickly that response is. Yeah, I don't know if it's like immediate or not, but yeah.
Yeah, not there yet.
I typed quietly.
Well, stay tuned until the end of the episode. Or maybe.
Yeah, no, this is a cliffhanger of epic proportions, whether it mentions. What could it say? Is it a haiku? Is it a limerick? I mean, anything is possible.
I'm pulling for a sonnet, but we'll see. This could be a new bit on the show where we have the audience, the guest, leave a review in real time. It'd be amazing.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You could review the review at the end.
Oh, wow. We're getting super meta now.
That's a new business model, to just review the reviews that are left, whether you're a business or whatever. I think that's what a great content opportunity.
Typical Adam trying to monetize ideas. Good job, Adam.
I did discover that I have a Yelp account the other day, like I guess from like 10 years ago. And apologies to everyone who tried to friend me on Yelp over the last decade. Just getting back to it. But I think I might just go through there and like just be like solid adverb use. Like just review them. Like
just
not,
reviewing
just,
reviews.
Yeah,
reviewing
yeah.
The previous reviews on a restaurant or whatever.
Yeah,
That's
I'm
pretty
the
good.
CEO of a small DMO. I've got plenty of time. It's fine. I don't have anything else to do.
You have nothing else to do. What could go wrong?
It's no
Well,
big deal. Fine.
let's jump into the show. I'm eager to get to the topic, but you know what we have to do before we get into the topic? It's just the
What could that
time
be?
for the greatest segment that Jeanette obviously likes and our Destiny's obviously like. It's time for Stu's News.
I see some head bobbing, Stuart.
Yeah. He's digging it, man.
Yeah.
There's no hand waving, just some head bobbing. It's good. You know, I really feel like we could just do like two bars of that and get the same effect, Adam. I don't know that we need the whole thing, but we're
The music's
80
distilled down to
something episodes
seconds
now.
now. It's not measured in minutes anymore. You got to get the hook.
That's true, right? Attention span 6 seconds. So we've got to keep it under 6 seconds. So let's do that.
I have very little control of this show, but what I do have control of is how long the jingle plays, and I'm not rescinding that
So what you're saying is it might get longer as we go
control. Who knows?
on. Who
12-inch
knows?
mix. It'll be great.
That's right.
It's club stuff.
Well, we got a real twist today in Stu's News because we're actually bringing you double the fun because we've got two newses, and one is it's sort of related, right? Because one is the positive side of AI, and one is the current backlash that's happening with the younger generation. So I'll go first, and Adam will go with the second one. So the first Stu's News is Anthropic just launched this whole AI for small business thing, or Claude for small business. And so it's like a vertically integrated solution with predefined skills and workflows and integrations to things like QuickBooks, Canva, all kinds of tools that are HubSpot, a bunch of tools that a small business would be likely to be using. And so this is the first time that one of the major companies has really said, hey, here's a complete automated toolkit for you for the folks that don't really have the manpower to go and figure out how to use AI. We're going to make it e it's the easy button for small businesses. And this is just another indication of how I think we've talked on the show before how OpenAI and Gemini have been going after the consumer, the consumer, the consumer. And now the war is really, I think Anthropic's recent gains in revenue have proven that, hey, let's go after businesses. Let's go after enterprise businesses. Let's go after developers. Let's go after specific verticals within business. And now, with I think 44% of all businesses in the United States are considered small business, now Anthropic's really going for the jugular with this Claude for small business. So, Dan, I'll throw it to you first and let me hear what you think about this.
I mean, the sort of irony of tech company. You always, when a tech company tells you they're going to help your small business, you should be afraid. I mean, just in general, because the idea is, I guess my question would be is like, okay, I dump all my data in there, then what?
Oh
Right? Like,
yeah, AI is going to own you, right? And
yeah,
lock you in for sure. Like that
right, and then.
Anthropic specifically be hard to move from.
Right, exactly. I mean, Gemini has the advantage there to some extent, right? Because people are in Google Suite and have those things set up. I mean, I'm a hypocrite about it, like in the sense that like I'm horrified when I see that anything is written by AI, or I'm horrified when I see the graphics. But I also, have a notebook file with every DMO annual report and marketing report I can find, so that I can just spare the time of like looking at all them. I'm like, who's marketing in Phoenix? I mean, so I use those tricks too. So it's sort of impossible to figure out the middle space. I think at the end, it's like when you're outsourcing creativity, it's the problem. When you're outsourcing the data collection or just digging through files, then maybe that's the ethical space. But it feels it. I was a journalist for a long time, and you'd always have these tech companies show up and say, "Hey, we're here to fix it, man. We're going to fix journalism. It's going to be great." And you're like, "So the thing is you're going to take everything and give me nothing back, and then you're going to charge me for it." Oh, okay, cool. This feels in that same lane, you know?
Adam, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think Dan actually brings up some interesting points about what this AI for small business might mean for small businesses, but there's this push and pull between altruism and capitalism, right? Where small businesses, and by the way, I shouldn't pit those two against each other because that makes it sound like diametrically opposed, which I don't think it is. However, in the end, as a small business, if you're not making money, you will not survive. And AI is going to continue to create resources because that's the value that it brings to help small businesses have a better shot at being profitable. And so for the capitalism side, I see small businesses having very little choice but to start adopting these tools so that they can actually improve their profitability, especially when we're in a time of transition where we don't know what the future looks like. And for a small business, when you don't know what it looks like in the next 10 years, that means the next 12 months is incredibly important to be able to make as much of a buffer and money as possible so that survival is something that's still on the table. So I think that sounds a little doomsday-ish for me to say it that way, but I really believe that small businesses, while there are some issues related to both the ethical side of it and then also the giving of your data, there's some risks there, but the bigger risk is not surviving what's coming. And I think it's really critical that businesses grab onto as much as they can and try to use it to make themselves more profitable in the short term.
Yeah, well, I think you're also missing the opportunity for businesses that don't exist today, right? So, if you look at like this in their press release, the specific integrations they talk about, right? They've got PayPal for payments, they've got Intuit QuickBooks for all of your accounting, forecasting, financing. They've got HubSpot for lead generation and CRM. They've got Canva, which now isn't just, people think about Canva as a replacement for PowerPoint. It's now a place where you can actually manage all of your content and publish it to all of your channels, and then DocuSign for contracting. It's like if I was a small business or I had an idea for a small business 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, it would take me a lot of capital, a lot of time, and a lot of external expertise or education for me to do the things I can literally do out of the box today at a very, very low cost. And so not only can I start a business, but I can scale a business with just myself and an idea in a way that was never possible before. So I think there's a lot of fear-mongering out there about AI right now, especially with the youth, which we'll talk about in a second. And one of the stats that's getting bandied around a lot is that for the first time ever, four-year degree graduates have a higher unemployment rate than non-four-year degree, educated folks. And so there's a backlash to that and people are fearful. But I think what we're going to see is, some people are calling a new renaissance, right? Where there's going to be all this creativity and innovation that's going to come out of this turmoil. And one of those, and I've seen it with my young kids, I've got a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. They're very creative and they're experimenting with creating businesses now because they can without a lot of capital and time. So I actually think this is, I'm looking at the positive side of this.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, and I see a lot more upside as well. I think for me, just the idea that a business shouldn't use it, I just don't think that that's palatable for a small business in today's day and age, because we have to use these tools in small business. So that's it's not that I think it's negative. It's I think that yes, there are some good like objections of why maybe a business shouldn't, but I don't think it outweighs the need for profitability.
Yeah.
And the catch is you do have to remember the limitations of the space still, right? Is that like, have you ever had AI ever tell you anything was a bad idea? It's always really super encouraging. And I'd be really wary in a small business of like outsourcing the decision making. But if you're
Yeah.
like, hey, listen, I just need someone to email this vendor until I get paid and tell me when it happened. Yeah, that's spectacular, right? Because a lot of the menial things that aren't core to your business, great, have it do that, right? Like be really thoughtful about it. But
Yeah.
if you ask Gemini today whether I should open a sidewalk falafel joint or something like that, it's going to be like, great idea. McMinnville's been waiting for that.
It depends how you use it, though, right? Because you can also say, hey, I want you to be a critic. I want you to beat up these ideas. I don't want you to be a sycophant. So I think we're at the point now where how we use the tool is as important as what tool we use. So I think Adam loves it being sycophantic to him, but I personally prefer the criticism. But
It
each to
was
their
I was
own.
going to college tours, and your kid's the same age, Stuart. Like it was very clear where my daughter is going. They're like, we're teaching AI now. Like it is very much a part of what you're going to leave this university or college with, is an
They have
understanding
to.
of how to do it. Yeah. And
But
so they
would
mentioned
you
it right up
hire
front,
anyone
right?
that doesn't have AI skills at this point? I
No,
wouldn't,
absolutely not. Yeah.
So, or at least curious and dabbling. So, Adam, let's talk about the second part of this because that's a good segue talking about our kids and how they're viewing this stuff.
Okay,
So, you
this
want to
is my
set this one up?
first TikTok video. Yeah, can you see my screen?
Well, you haven't shared it yet.
Okay, let's
Or maybe you
try
have.
this again.
Hold on. Maybe I'm looking at
I
the wrong
saw
thing.
it.
Okay.
You could
I
see
was looking at the wrong screen.
it.
My bad. Yes,
Okay.
I can see your screen, Adam.
So, talking about some of the challenges, especially as we look to the future and how the younger generation, you mentioned that people with a 4-year degree are less employable today than they have been in a very long time. Well, at the commencement speech for UCF, there was a woman that they had brought in to give that commencement speech, and she started talking about AI. And this was the reaction from the crowd, the students that were just graduating, when she talked about what AI was going to do. I'll press play here and then we'll react.
Artificial intelligence is the next industrial revolution.
You hear the booze?
She looks shocked. She's
Okay,
absolutely
I
dumbfounded.
struck a chord.
And then it goes on, right?
May I
This is.
finish?
She struck a nerve, not a chord.
Only a few years ago, AI was not a factor
Listen
in
to
our
this.
lives.
And they show the crowd applauding. Great stuff.
The rise.
Yeah, I think we can stop it there. I mean, that's a visceral, unfiltered reaction, and it's one that I think a lot of younger folks share. Now, you could argue that part of this is there's a massive propaganda war going on right now between the powers that have, or the structures that have power today, and these ones that are coming up that are going to have power tomorrow. And there's certainly a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of people with deliberate agendas trying to change the narrative, whether that be about water usage, whether that be about data centers, whatever. This just seems to be this ideological clash that's going on. But it is clear from the youth I talk to, including my own family, from this video, that there seems to be a realization that not everything that's coming out of AI is positive, and some folks are kind of similar to what's happened with social media a little bit, right? Where some people are like, "Hey, I wish it didn't exist. I'm spending too much time." But then part of me is also looking at this and saying, but you're all using AI. You're all using social media. You're still doing the thing that you hate. So where does this lead all of us down this path?" It's I don't know what the answer is. But Adam, I'd love to you shared this with me, so I'd love to get your
Yeah.
take on it.
Well, remember the position that the audience is in for this one. Because 4 years ago, they entered into their university studies. They spent probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $60,000 to $100,000 over the course of that time, likely went into debt for it.
Oh, a lot more than that. Have you got
Some terrible news for you, Adam.
Yeah,
That's
buddy. You got
the.
any kids?
Hey, I haven't been in college for a long time.
Oh,
But.
no. Yeah, you're talking a year now. Oh, oof.
Well, but here's the thing is they went in with the promise that they would get a return on investment from that. And they likely studied topics that as they look forward into the future, AI is probably going to remove their ability to even practice the thing that they just spent however much money they spent to get. And at the commencement speech, the woman who they've hired to give that speech is telling them how wonderful the thing that's displacing their future is going to be. And I do think it's a little bit of a tone-deaf topic
100%.
for that forum. She's not even wrong in what she's saying. Like the amount of innovation and opportunity that's going to come from AI is incredible. But that's like you telling me after let's say I buy another agency. And as soon as I make my final payment, somebody tells me that the agency world is dead. Like, I'm going to be so angry and upset about what I just went through. Oh, and in fact, if the person I bought that agency from is the one that's telling me that the agency
Yeah,
business
they're
is
part of the
dead, right?
problem.
So I really have a lot of empathy for those students that are in that situation. I do think there's more opportunity as a result of AI than they think there's going to be. But if I was in that crowd, I would absolutely be booing just like they are.
It
To be fair, they
was
might have also
crazy.
been booing the Industrial Revolution too. That's not going through the best. The marketing, the PR for the Industrial Revolution isn't really great right now either. So it might have been
Funny.
just
They're like, bring
across
back
the board.
cottage industry. We miss it.
All we want to do is like make deli meats, high quality deli meats.
We want to weave baskets in our houses. That's what we
Yeah,
want.
exactly. I mean, I think, yeah, I think you get invited to those gigs thinking you want to say something super important, and what you're supposed to do is like functionally recontextualize Dr. Seuss's of the places you will go. I mean, like, just read the room. Just tell everybody's everything's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's a party. It's not a it's not a TED talk, you know?
There's a great lesson here for marketers, though, right? No, the number one rule is know your audience. You
Right.
always have to go in with any kind of communication, knowing who the audience is, and really, at a minimum, putting yourself in their shoes and saying, how will they hear this message? And so,
Those kids were in middle school during the pandemic, right? I mean, like their entire lives of entire and adult lives have been disrupted by nothing but chaos. Tell them everything's going to be okay. Like that's the gig
I
there,
don't know
right?
that I
Like
agree with that. I don't know if I agree with sugarcoating. These kids need to be resilient, but give them hope, man. I agree with 100%.
they need to be resilient, but the commencement speech, I agree with Dan.
No, man. The commencement
It's
speech
gonna be
is
amazing. You
about
guys are gonna work
inspiring.
hard. Think about the job that doesn't exist. I mean, the thing that I always tell my kids is like Uber, I mean, Uber maybe even not the best example, but most of the people who are wealthy right now are doing things that weren't jobs when I was a kid, and that weren't even jobs when they were kids, right? It's like, think of the problem you want to solve. There are real problems out there that can be solved by your generation. I'm counting on it, right? Like, probably just what's going to happen with like my retirement or something, you know, where I'm going to be living is what I'm counting my kids for. But like, that's what you, I mean, that's the sort of essence of like AI is an opportunity, yes. And it has good and bad, but it is the Industrial Revolution hasn't always been universally positive either. Tell that to the, you know, that had its triangle shirt fire too, right? Like, there were
It did, but
negative
I think
outcomes to that as
it
well.
would be hard to argue that there isn't more wealth in the in the quality of life hasn't improved since the Industrial Revolution,
Yeah,
right?
for
It would
sure.
be
I'm not,
hard.
yeah.
It would be hard to point even at a global scale, right? There's less poverty today, empirically less poverty today, less injustice today, less a lot of things than there was back in the Industrial Revolution, right? Now, I'm not by any way saying that things are perfect today and couldn't be better. But it's materially improved, and I believe we're going to see that same improvement, maybe not to the utopian level that Elon sees it, but I think we're going to ultimately see net improvement in quality of life and wealth because of AI. Could be
Yeah.
wrong. We might be all doomed.
I don't know. The quality of life and wealth thing is a struggle for me, because the reality is value to society has been kind of funneled into to wealth, and the reality is value to society is providing, you know, function and something that truly adds value to the world. But if all those things are replaced with AI, it's all these students that are graduating that want to feel personal accomplishment and achievement. Where's that going to come from? And I'm not saying work should be your sole source of value, but when you do a good job and you see the fruits of your labor, you're proud of what you've done. If labor gets outsourced to AI, like what? Anyway, this is a much longer conversation than
I
we're
guess
about
we
to
can do
have
the
on
whole
this
episode on
podcast.
this. Well,
Yeah,
I'll point
yeah.
out when I say wealth, I'm not talking about just financial wealth. There are multiple types of wealth, right? And I think purpose is a certain type of wealth. So I believe across the board, we're going to have the means and the capabilities to do more that improve the quality of our life and become wealthy in a financial sense, a relationship sense, a purpose sense, a time spent, you know, all those ways that wealth can be measured. So.
Revolutions are messy. They are, right? And we use those terms because it's meaningful in that way. The beginning of the Industrial Revolution was messy, but the long game is useful. And the beginning of the AI revolution is messy, right? It's still, there was somewhere I saw yesterday where the people created a radio station with AI that picked the songs and tried to get sponsors. And 2 days in, it was like, 300 years ago, there was a tsunami that devastated the island of, you know, some Indonesian island. Here's Timber by Kesha and Pitbull. And it's just like, no, no, no one wants
There
this,
will
right?
be
Like,
pitfalls. Yeah.
We all want Pitbull songs. We all love him. He's great. But like,
Boy.
it didn't know the difference, right? It's like news is news, you know?
No artist has come up more on this show than Pitbull.
That's
Sure.
true.
No, I mean, listen.
That's true. Starting in episode three with Will Second. All right, we're halfway through recording and we haven't even touched on your subject yet, Dan. So let's sort
They're
of
all my subject,
transition.
right? It's fine.
I mean, I think this is related, right? Because we're talking about the uncertainty, the unknowns. We're talking about revolution. We're talking about disruption. And I think one of the staple foundational cornerstones of society has been media, right? Especially journalism piece of media. And I don't think anyone can look in their local community today and say there isn't disruption happening with journalism, you know, whether that be at the TV side where you're seeing an ever increasing rotating door of people coming in and out and they seem to be younger every year and less experienced. The newspapers have been gutted. Their whole business model is sort of eroded. Subscription and readership has gone down and they've had to lay off just about the entire staff, like in every city, right? So you come from a journalism background, so I'd love to sort of let you have the platform for a little bit and just sort of talk about what you're seeing and make your thesis, as it were, on
Yeah,
what the
I guess
role
my
is there.
thesis statement is that DMOs might have to support journalism in a way we didn't expect. That we
Yeah.
may have to be the people to prop up this industry. Now that's messy and challenging, but you know, it's funny because I was reading a story today about the newspaper in my hometown of Tucson, Arizona, the Arizona Daily Star, which has, I think, a reporter now. I mean, it doesn't functionally cover city politics or anything like that. And they're owned by a billionaire, I think, who made his money in the ice cream business, which is awesome for him. That's a great way to be a billionaire. But he bought Lee Enterprises, which is one of the largest remaining publishing chains in the United States. And he said his take is to make them all pro-business. They should be pro-business papers. And that is a way to run a newspaper for sure, but it is also not what local newspapers are for, right? To champion business. They're to tell the truth, right? If the classic journalism thing is if people aren't uncomfortable by your reporting, then you're doing PR. And I say this as someone who does PR. But here in Oregon, the Portland Monthly, which is a place we've bought ads in and also publishes a number of visitor guides around the area, their company Saga City was bought out by another company. And first thing they did, while telling everyone that the coverage was going to stay the same, was fire the editor and the food editor. So, like maybe 2 weeks later, the last forward, fast forward 2 weeks later to the announcements of the James Beard Media Awards, best local food coverage, one of the nominees, the Portland Monthly, with coverage that was brought to you by that editor in chief and that
Who
food
was just
editor.
that guy? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, the something I count on coverage of our local area, we're an hour south of Portland, and they cover the Willamette Valley food scene and wine scene pretty extensively. I count on that. Because I need Portlanders to know how great our food is, right? It's important to us. So should I have done something different? Now I'm not super inclined to buy ads with them, right? But
Right.
I mean, now I want to punish them. But should I have been more reactive ahead of time? Travel Oregon sponsors part of the food coverage in the Oregonian, in the Portland's paper. It says it at the bottom. They cough up actual money to make sure there's food coverage in that paper. Our local newspaper, shout out to the News Register here, has a sponsorship program. We write them a check. I mean, they do not, you know, part of that deal is that we can't affect the coverage, which as a journalist, is awesome. As a PR person, I would be fine with affecting that coverage a little bit. But I just think the long game of what we're doing, we need these publications to exist, and we're watching them collapse and unique and spectacular ways. I'm super thankful for the small publications that are popping up, the reboot of Gourmet post Condé Nast forgetting about their IP, Ravenous, these sort of Substacks and all those spaces. But how are we going to pitch to like the dissolution of that market, while maybe good in some ways for being more independent and brave, is impossible for us to pitch to even, right? Like,
Yeah.
where, what IMM, what is IMM in that context? What is, you know, we don't have the sort of big platforms of what food and wine means to our organizations now, or what a Condé Nast Traveler is, because they're collapsing upon themselves.
Yeah. And I think you've got two tiers here. So we're sort of talking about the local journalism, and then we're talking about niche journalism on a more global scale, right? And I think there's still a place for that. I think there's folks that are doing really good journalism, people like Afar who are doing some really good content that's authentic content, right? But they're sort of blending the spend, the advertising with the editorial. I think at the local level, you know, we talked on the show before about Goodhart's law, and you know, when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to be a good measure. And our experience with local journalism, at least, has been that they're all chasing the metrics that drive revenue, right? They're all chasing the eyeballs and the clicks. We had a, I think I mentioned this on the show before, but we had an incident recently where we were presenting to City Council that Q4 of last year was down 3% in Myrtle Beach, and we were sort of going through some of the lead factors on why we were down, and we talked about the weather, and we talked about gas prices and CPI and inflation, and you know, we mentioned a bunch of stuff. And then I even did an interview with a TV station afterwards to ask very specific questions about it. And the headline that they run was violent crime causes decrease in tourism. Like, violent crime wasn't a factor. It actually hadn't shown up on any of the metrics, any of the conversations, any of the things. And we went to them afterwards, and we said, well, why is this the headline? It's not even in the article. Like, you're completely fabricating this. And their response was, well, we have an AI platform now where we run the story through it, and it comes up with the headline that's going to get the most clicks. And I'm like, well, that's not journalism anymore. Like, we've completely lost the purpose for why we exist. And so I don't know that I agree that we need to prop up the current journalists. I think we need to find a path towards where there's new citizen journalism, because we need someone holding powers to accountability, right? We need people reporting on local issues. We need people advocating on behalf of those that maybe need that avocation. And so journalism plays an important role. I'm not convinced that current media outlets are able to fulfill that role anymore because of the financial incentives being the way they are.
Yeah, I have no love for Lee Enterprises. Like, they can shut down for all I care, to be honest. And I mean,
You
comically, the
know this
company
goes out publicly, right?
that's fine. I don't, it's
Okay.
fine.
Okay.
Whatever. It's no big deal.
You know,
And they
we're going to
fired a lot of
show
my
up in all
friends.
the AI results for Lee Enterprises now.
I actually welcome it, to be honest. And
Wow.
comically, Saga City, the company that bought Saga City in Portland was the same company that bought the newspaper I worked for, and then said we didn't need to pay writers anymore. So yeah, I mean, there is a crisis coming with it that some of the owner, the private cap, private equity, and things that have owned newspapers right now, and frankly, TV stations have to dissolve. But the catch is, to some extent,
Or
and
have a really very wealthy benefactor who's willing to fund it, right? Who just
which is
believes in the
also a
cause.
nightmare too when you look at like the LA Times and I mean frankly the Washington Post, where it's like, why don't these people, billionaires to often are like, why don't these people like me, and are exercising that through the media, right? But I would happily be one of those billionaires. I'm open to it, but
If anyone's offering, yeah.
yeah, no, it's fine. I'm happy to run your newspaper and be wealthy. But the catches is also when you have when it becomes the substackation of this space too, is that you do create a have and have nots of who gets to access this news, because those publications are relying on a very like pay me, subscribe, and you get the service, right? Television to some extent, radio 40 years ago, and newspapers had a ever presence, right? Like, you could run into that news somewhere. The catch is the product has become bad because of the same sort of short game thinking that a lot of people have engaged in, right? Which is, yeah, like a click matters. The quality of the coverage doesn't matter. It's just that whether you can get attention this day. When I was in Tucson, I worked at a hospital system for a couple of years in between tourism things. And every single TV reporter who came and reported on the hospital was like, so you guys hiring? Like, I mean, that's the space that's in, right? Is that they don't want to be there either. I just wonder is like, what is the free version of that too, right? Is that we do want people to watch our businesses, and we are incentivized to see people cover what's in our communities too. We want them to cover the good things we're doing as well.
Right.
But when you have, we also need some of that to be accessible to everyone. The catch is that what does that mean, right? Like,
Yeah.
who's
When who's
is it
paying
all
for it? Someone has
TikTok?
to pay for the work to get done, right? And so
Yeah, exactly.
what's the
Yeah, and
model?
it's one person going to a city council meeting doesn't mean it
Right.
isn't doesn't take they are also still end up on the short game, right? Is that they have to crank stuff out so people are interested. A great news story can take years, right? I mean, literally, like, great journalism sometimes happens over months, if not years, but we've also eliminated that, right? I hate to be like, I mean, I spent a decade and a half in journalism and I miss it every day, but also I also like having a job where I'm pretty sure it's going to be open tomorrow. But it's even in the niche space, we just have to be concerned. Like, I think we're a little bit responsible too. And I say this for myself, is that I look at something and go, okay, well, if I bring this influencer here, the coverage of my event will be up tomorrow, right? It'll show up and I can put it in a spreadsheet and I can tell our stakeholders and our city council that we did a good, right? We did a positive thing and I got a reaction out of it. The long game of journalists and building evangelists out of people who come to our cities and our regions and fall in love with them is hard. Like, that takes time, and it takes having those people out multiple times and saying that you're working on something, and maybe telling your board that that press trip didn't lead to an immediate story, right?
Yeah.
We
Well,
may
that's
have
the
to think
pressure,
about it a
right? The
little bit on the
pressure
PR
is
front
it's
too.
everything's looked short term and there has to be an ROI in every story. And if your story doesn't get clicks, but I wonder, like, if people are looking at this now and seeing what's happening, like I don't want this to get political, but if you look at what happened in Minnesota and you look at the Somali daycares, right? And the mainstream media wasn't covering that, but a YouTuber went and did a ton of journalism, some would say, right, about what was going on. And you could argue whether or not that, the true journalism, but it got way more attention, right? And the individual was able to monetize that in a way that the mainstream media wasn't able to monetize it through content creation. And so I wonder if we're seeing the birth of this individuals being the voices, right? I think that's chaotic. I think that's risky. I think that's going to lead to a lot of really bad places because an individual is going to have their own personal bias. They don't have the institutional wrapper around them to kind of keep their ethics and their integrity, and their incentives are going to get warped, right? But I think that's where the pendulum's swinging right now is down to these individuals versus these institutions.
I think you
And
guys are thinking about this a little bit wrong, to be honest
okay.
with you.
Welcome it.
We are in a time where destinations are fighting for relevance across the board. That's part of why this show got started. We talk about it all the time. And one of the major issues that we have is that destinations aren't near as visible within their own communities, and a lot of the residents, business stakeholders, and political stakeholders don't value what the tourism destination brings to the community. And at the same time, we've got this business model that has been the trusted voice in the community for years and years and years, that's clearly failing perpetually and is eventually going to die. And as much as I would love to claim that's not what's happening, that's what's happening.
Sure.
And instead of the idea that we as destination marketing organizations have a responsibility to prop up journalism in its past form, I think the reality is what we have is a massive opportunity for the destination marketing space to fill the void that is being left by these newspaper organizations that are dying. And the destination marketing organization is actually uniquely positioned to have a news source business model layered on top of the DMO that can be self-contained without significant additional cost. And I know Stuart's going to hate this because Stuart hates when I come up with non-linear ideas for
No, not at
destination
all.
marketing business opportunities. But no, you're afraid of money being used to seed businesses. But I personally, if the newspaper was failing in the destination I was a CEO of, and of course I'm not the CEO of a destination, but if it was, I would make a play for the destination to own that paper, to absorb the employees and keep it going. And guess what? Now I can control the entire narrative of
Yeah, but
what
then
actually gets
so.
published.
So it's just something we've talked about internally, and it's something we actually talked about even before I was at the DMO when I worked for a private business that owned myrtlebeach.com, which was a portal for the destination. We talked about, do we become our own media outlet? Do we buy existing ones that are struggling, right? So it's not a brand new concept. I think where we've always gotten hung up on it is for journalism to truly work, it has to be, like Dan said at the beginning, it has to tell the truth. Right, it has to be unbiased and unfiltered, in challenge the status quo in a way that is uncomfortable. And there's not a DMO that I know of would have the courage to take on that responsibility. We could absolutely be that voice for positivity and celebration and creating community pride, but that we're never going to be the ones holding elected officials accountable, right? We're never going to
Yeah,
be
but
the
I
ones
like
exposing businesses.
why does journalism in its historical form that's dying anyway on the local stage, why does it need to maintain its historical form? Why can't you be the portions of that the DMO can control and leave the holding of government and
Because then we're
power?
propaganda machines, right? Which doesn't help
We're
solve the
already that.
problem.
We're
Yeah,
already propaganda machines.
but it doesn't solve the problem. Like, we should all be doing community pride campaigns, right? There's not that that marketing the marketing promoting, positivity towards tourism, but it doesn't solve the problem. I think you're missing what the problem is. The problem is without journalism in our communities, people are unchecked in human nature of greed. Is going to overrun us. We're going to have corrupt officials, elected officials. Our own organizations will become corrupt. Like, we need society. I'm not talking about the DMO. I'm talking about society needs journalism.
Okay,
It
then
is a
maybe I would
challenging thing. You're in a
parse.
weird space, right? Because, like, yeah, if you pay for it, then instantly. I mean, I think we've all. Anytime you have I've had really positive social media posts that we put up that people had problems with, right? Because
Oh,
they
100%.
it didn't fit their specific narrative of what we're doing, and I'm like, I'm just trying to tell the truth, and it's being positive. I'm still being positive about what you offer, but you're like, no, you need to tell everyone it's the best pastries in Oregon, and you're like, well, like. Let's calm down. Those nuances really hard for our business. It is, it's a tough thing because it's like once you hand that money over, it automatically changes that conversation, right? There is a problem there, and I go in front of the city council every year and ask for our contract to be renewed, and those city councilors wouldn't be thrilled if I owned a paper that looked into something. They don't. They're doing a great job. They're all great. I just want to be clear about that. But in City X,
He
they're
just
not like.
remembered that our show goes out publicly.
Let's say you're Las Vegas, right? And you buy the Las Vegas Review Journal or something like that, right? Like, and then it becomes a you have a weird situation there because the Review Journal is owned by somebody who owns a convention center against the. So there's an interesting dynamic there as well. But like, the minute you say something nasty about the mayor, everything is getting shut down, right? But. It might be more subtle in a sense of like that we might those civic pride campaigns are involve print buys or things like that. I don't want you. The catch is that you're also then picking sides, right? You're picking winners in a media battle as well. But it's there's going to be a problem of when we don't have anybody to pitch to anymore. And I will say that like I don't know about your kids, Stuart, but my kids don't trust. They say they don't trust influencers, but they're starting to turn that noise off, right? They don't believe they know that it's all bought, right? They're very hyper
They're very
aware.
skeptical, right? Yeah, this next generation is extremely
They're like, oh, that
skeptical.
boba place is the hottest one in town. I bet, right?
Yeah,
Like
but I think
they know it's.
for every kid that is this skeptical, there's also people that are totally propagandized by whatever their source of media is, right? They're buying these conspiracies or whatever because they found a source they trust that's not a mainstream media, right? It's just some social media content creator. They find ones they trust, and that's where they get their source. Like, I don't know any kids my children's age that are reading the local newspaper or watching the local news or even
My
listening to
daughter bought
local
a
radio.
subscription to Vanity Fair to try to help them out. So there's
Wow, there
$8
you go. That
towards
might
the
keep them
good there.
going for like an extra 8 seconds before they go
Yeah,
on to
it's
the
going to be
street.
fine. There's the Condé Nast elevators are running today for just because of her $8.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm someone that I've not always gotten on with our local media, although generally speaking, it's positive, right? But even when they frustrate me, they create friction unnecessarily, I still appreciate the job that they're doing, right? I think it's a necessary piece of society. Like, I've seen what happens in countries when media is controlled by the government, or there is no checks and balances on structures of power. Humans are the
It's
worst. Like, they
right. No, my CEO
always feel
said, right,
corrupted.
like my CEO of Visit Tucson, Brett Durad, who's in Arlington now, was like, our goal is to not be on the front page of the paper, right? Like, and it was a it helps you make decisions in a way of right, like, hey, look, how is this going to be seen? How is the public think about this? Like, you know, and it's a helpful framework for the work we do, right? To like avoid scandal. There would be a lot more DMOs running very expensive rock concerts if it wasn't for the media. So I mean, at least,
It's another Pitbull reference.
yeah, no, we're keeping that. The media at least helps keep us our worst impulses at bay.
For sure. We've all had
You know what will
decisions
fix
we
this?
could
A
make, right?
Coachella.
But we're like, oh, yeah, that's probably not something we want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Because the optics, right? How many times do we in a DMO do we say optics, you know? You
Right.
know?
Yeah. It is.
So.
Yeah. I mean, even with our small paper, I am when the phone rings and I see that it says News Register, I have a moment, right? Like that's just like, oh gosh, what did I do?
Yeah, let me put my wall of filter up. Like, let me make sure I don't say anything.
Yeah, I
And
used
how
to
many
really
times?
value honesty as a journalist, and now, yeah, I think I've become my own enemy there. But
Yeah. But how many times have
it's
you been in a meeting and said, hey, I would never say this publicly, but to a stakeholder, right? All the time you do this.
I don't, Stuart. But that's just
Yeah.
me. I'm a different
Everybody
ethical
but
thing.
Dan does that.
No, I don't. I
Yeah.
listen. I get it. You rise to the top at Myrtle Beach. It's a whole different set of rules down here in McMinnville. It's still small time America, you know.
Oh, that's hilarious.
There has to be a middle space, and I don't know what it is. Right. I will buy a drink for anybody at DI in Portland that has a good idea about this. I welcome it. But it just it. Neither so like none of the outcomes are good, and I feel like that's the challenge, right? Is that when it falls apart, even just for us, right? Like I just can't pitch 1,000 Substacks, and they have micro audiences that I don't know. I'm like, how am I going to make any of this work anymore, right? And now I'm catering to publications that are sort of imaginary, and you know, I there's one that. Every DMO pitches and is so thankful when they come to their destination that has like 25,000 unique visitors every month. But yet we've established because it feels real, like it feels like a publication with a brand that it matters. And we've gotten to this space where neither thing works, right? Like you said, that economic principle, when something becomes a goal, it ceases to be a metric, right? That's why for a long time, all our DMOs pitched every travel person at Huffington Post. And now we do it with Forbes, right? Because we look at we're like, man, this is worth a lot. It's like, but we're not building people really to tell stories about what our destinations and what we do either. Who are
But
those people?
are you seeing though, like, I would say our strategy has shifted in terms of how we deal with a lot of the, and I'm going zooming out now, so the national media stuff, like the Forbes and the Condé Nast and the stuff like that, even like the Southern Livings, the People Inc, right? People like that have a bunch of publications that they've become, because of the pressure, they've liberalized their ideals related to church and state of advertising and editorial, right? They've all had to compromise their core values on that, which is a massive leverage point for DMOs. And we've found that an increased amount of our paid media budget is blended with our earned media budget, right? So we've got the story pitches we're going out for with the earned media, but we're leveraging paid dollars to get more coverage in that. And even sometimes we're buying editorials, or we're buying what would have traditionally been a visual display ad in a magazine and turning that into an advertorial that looks like organic content, even though it's a paid ad. And we've had a ton of success in that, not only in terms of getting traction and good ROI, but also in the actual metrics of success that matter in terms of driving awareness and visitation. So I think this blending is something that every DMO should be taking advantage of right now.
The catch is I think Myrtle Beach sneezes our budget out. at Visit McMinnville, right? Like, I mean, God bless you and the work you're doing. But like
Totally fair.
you can see it in those publications as
Yeah.
they have become hyper focused on those bigger destinations, right? There's a lot of California coverage because California dumps a ton of money in those publications. And then you really then start to have these haves and have nots, right? Like for a smaller destination like mine, it's like I got to find somebody to fall in love with this place, right? I
Yeah, that's totally fair.
and they'll be hopefully on the beat saying, no, I understand that you guys want to write another story about Florida. Like, I found something really special in McMinnville, right? That's the like, it's interesting because you do see that dynamic happening in real time. And it's just like, it's also boring for me as a consumer, right? When I pick up those publications and I'm
Everything
like,
becomes homogenized with the big guys. Thank you
I
for
was like,
bringing me
man, I
down from
want to
my
be
ivory
surprised
tower.
by
I
something,
appreciate
you
it.
know? Like, so yeah, it's all a mess, and we didn't fix any of it. So now I don't know.
No.
Yeah,
It was a good therapy session, though, Dan. Thank
that's
you.
always good too. Yeah, that's totally fine. It's UFO Wet Fest weekend here, so I do still have the
Nice.
largest UFO event in the world here in McMinnville. So I gotta
Wow. How
win.
did that
Week.
happen?
What's
Wow.
that?
Is it
And a
Disclosure
little
Week?
bubble. We have the only non-debunked UFO incident in the United States.
No
And I
way.
stand
Even
by
now,
that.
after all of the UAP releases from the government?
Listen, I stand by it. If I keep saying it, then it's true. I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Okay.
There's who's going to check me? There's no journalism. It's fine.
Therein lies the problem. I think you just illustrated the problem we've been talking about for the last hour.
Or the solution.
Yeah. Just make shit up and people will believe it. Okay.
Listen,
There we have it, guys.
Roswell's PR isn't as good as mine, and
Yeah.
so we're bigger than Roswell. We win. It's all
There
happened.
you go. What was the incident? I used to follow UFO stuff a little bit, but not haven't
It's
lately.
actually sort of an interesting tourism story in a weird way. There was our local newspaper, the News Register, had a story about a farmer in the 50s that saw an UAV, unidentified flying
UAP,
object in the
UFO,
sky, and they had a photo, and so the photo ran on the front page of the paper. McMinniman's, which is sort of this hipster power broker here in the Northwest, opened a hotel in McMinnville, and they have an archivist on staff, believe it or not. The archivist went through like years and years of the newspaper, found this story, and was like, I can turn this into something. So the story was largely just like forgotten by time. They started marketing the heck out of it. We have like it's $300 passes to hear experts in the field speak, but there's also a like parade that goes down the street. I'm judging a pet costume contest tomorrow. Don't tell me dreams don't come true because it's happening to this guy right now.
Pet costume. So how recently, this is really interesting. How recently did all of this like start up? When was the first time you had this convention?
In the 2000s.
So within the last 20-ish years, you've
Yeah,
developed
they
this.
invented it once they bought the property and revamped it and said this
What a
was something
great
they could turn
idea,
into something.
man. And
Yeah.
with AI now, you could easily go, you can go buy subscriptions to archives of your old newspapers. Like, go have AI just rigorously look through for old stories of significance that weren't didn't blow up at the time, but you could leverage into stories today.
We
That's a
will
really cool idea.
double our population tomorrow. There are 34,000-ish people in McMinnville. 35,000 people show up for this event. It's
Wow.
out of control. And so, I mean, my job is to sort of help McMinniman's into like, how do we expand that? How do we add programming on Thursday? How do we make things happen
Yeah.
on Sunday? But yeah, if there's a shipment somewhere of alien sunglasses or something like that, it was all heading to McMinnville this week. It's
Who's
really happening.
the journalist that's going to make sure that the pet contest judging wasn't biased or rigged?
Oh, it's super biased. It's so rigged. Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't like lizards, and so I'm like, absolutely not. Yeah.
If people are dressing up their pet lizard with alien costumes, that's
Oh, I assure
wow.
you. Last year, so many turtles. Oh my goodness. A couple snakes. It's the city shows up for our UFO
Yeah,
history.
ufologists are an interesting breed for sure.
Yeah. It's wine all the rest of the time, and then one weekend a year, nothing but UFOs.
Well, it's going to be exciting this year with all the recent disclosures from the government. If people haven't followed that, it's crazy how much the Department of War has put out in the last 2 weeks. It's
There's
insane.
a government whistleblower who's speaking here on the condition of anonymity like who's a
Ooh.
current government employee who's speaking behind a curtain
Oh, you're
this week.
literally gonna have them. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool.
it's really, I
Distorting
had
the
no idea.
voice.
I'm coming to Minnville. When's it start?
I got you can get in today still. I mean, like, we can get you up.
Okay.
There's an airport right by. It's fine. We can pick you up.
Awesome.
Next year I got a pass for you, Stuart. It's fine. And Adam, like,
That's
you seem less interested, Adam, so I just didn't want to offer.
I
You guys can come for just wine and food.
want to come. I'm definitely
Okay,
in.
both of you. Okay, great. I'll book the hotel now because that's pretty much how it works
All
here.
right, I'm gonna dress Adam up as my pet, and we'll enter the
I'll be a
competition.
turtle.
I
All
don't
right.
really want to get into your guys' dynamic that way, but sure. It's
Yeah,
fine.
that's fair. Totally fair. All right, we're going off the rails, guys. I appreciate you bringing this topic, Dan. This has been amazing.
But
Any
if you see a
final
turtle on a leash next year, just know
Yeah, exactly.
wearing a hat, yeah, then it's definitely
That
Adam.
it's a whole, yeah, the game has
Yeah,
changed.
wearing a hat and sneakers. And Dan, any final thoughts, any words of wisdom for the Desties out there listening?
You know what? Honestly, here's my thought is if you have not booked your DI stuff for Portland yet, add a day on before or after. I do not represent Portland. I do need Portland to be successful for me. It is
Yeah.
whatever you've heard about Portland, other than it just being an incredible place to live and an incredible place to eat and drink. It is it's a great time to be here. And if you have the excuse to add some time on, you absolutely should.
How far is McMinnville from Portland?
About an hour drive.
Okay, not bad
Yeah,
at all.
it is an amazing city with a lot of amazing things going on. It is our hellhole, and we love it. So
That's quite a tagline. It's our hellhole.
listen,
Come visit.
that was the best tourism week in Portland history for a long time, was when not to get super, when a certain president said the place was a hellhole.
Yeah.
It was just like, come on. Like it people were putting up videos that were like, it took me an extra 5 minutes to get my matcha today. This is a hellhole. Like,
I
it's like
love
play
the
off
internet.
of it. It's fine.
That's
Like
great.
unless you're mad about an abundance of Thai restaurants, then if
Who
that
can get mad
upsets
about
you, then
that?
you'll hate
Yeah,
Portland.
that's funny. Dan, how can they find you if they want to get in touch?
I could use, I'm like looking
Yelp.
to build up my LinkedIn clout. Yeah, sure, why not? But yeah, I'm you can name yell my name into the wind. It's just Dan at Visit McMinnville. I'll be around,
Thank you for coming on the show,
My
Dan. Love
pleasure.
to have
Thanks
you
so much,
back.
guys.
Adam,
Thanks,
any
Dan.
final words of wisdom from you?
Yeah, Dan, this was fun. Really, really, really appreciate it. I had a good time. And you and I connected on LinkedIn and have been chatting back and forth there. And it was a lot of fun to make it a verbal conversation instead of a written one.
It's just me going, Adam, we should have more companies making websites, not just four.
Oh,
That might be your next episode. We might need to get you on coming to talk about that.
yeah, great. I will get blacklisted from everything from now on, but that's fine. It's
That's
all right.
okay. You already insulted all your local media, so we
Not
expect the
only the
hit to be
national
taken out.
media. It's only national media.
Okay. Adam, where can they find you?
Adam at thebrandrevolt.com. You can find me on LinkedIn or, of course, on Tourism IQ.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Again, don't forget to leave a review. Adam, did his review show up yet?
Oh, let me check.
Let me
Thanks for
check. You
putting me
can
on the
find
spot as
me,
we're wrapping up
Stuart
here.
Top Butler, at visitmuggledbeach.com or on LinkedIn. And if you want to know more about me, go listen to episode 80 of this show. I did a pretty deep dive into my history and why I think the way I do. So I've been getting a lot of good feedback on that episode, Adam.
Oh, you know what? Maybe this is Dan's here.
That's, I
Okay.
think it says
There's
Beespo,
not.
which is like a username I set up a million years ago.
What is it?
Yeah.
What's your username?
It's a long story. It's
Beespo.
a story around a drink, but it's
You say
Beespo. It's from
Fizbo?
a Beespo.
Okay.
It's from a Canadian politeness video. It's a long story. And
Obviously, I mean, I would have
yeah.
understood that. Yeah.
It says there's not a more important piece of media in the destination marketing space than the Stu's
That's
News jingle.
fine.
I
It's
don't
that's
think it
AI
said that.
generated. Yeah.
I think it
It hasn't
started
come
out
in
really
yet.
well,
It
the
hasn't come
bottom
in
half of
yet.
it, but I like the not a more important piece
Yeah.
of media in
I
the
had you in the
industry.
first half.
You did. I was like, yes. Yes.
It's
All right,
something like
Desties.
that. It's in
All right,
the realm of
Desties.
it, yeah.
Go leave your own review. Adam will read it out. Don't forget, if you put an accent in, he'll have to read it in the accent too. So thank you for listening. Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody.
Cheers. I have some takes.